unlike some of these other tools like ScanRand and Unicorn Scan, where you pretty much have to tune them, like Unicorn Scan, for example, by default, will just send 300 packets per second. And that's why it completely lost in this computerdefense.org test, because against all the slow machines, it just didn't find any ports against, for example, the printer. So for Nmap, while it does have at least a dozen different options for affecting the timing, the goal is that it should do its best to adaptively figure out the right timing, because 95% of the people aren't going to do, you know, any options for their scan. They're just going to say Nmap, here are the ports. And it's a hugely difficult problem, and that's one reason why I welcome research like what they were doing with port planning, for example, even if I have qualms about the way they did their presentation and some of their technical aspects they chose. At least it's nice to see the research being done. So for Nmap, we put a huge amount of work in that. Some of the most important benefits was just taking from TCP. You know, it has such a big history. I look at what works with their congestion control, and really the bulk of Nmap algorithms are based on TCP. You know, slow start, you know, having a congestion window, and the algorithms it uses to reduce the window size when there's a packet drop, the algorithms it uses to decide a timeout before it retransmits. But at the same time, there are also some differences with port scanning. For example, the rate limiting case, like with UDP, there Nmap has to kind of detect that, hey, they're rate limiting us, and so it would be totally wasteful for us to send 30 packets a second when 29 of them will just be dropped. Similarly, the port scan pings. You know, with normal TCP, you're getting these acknowledgement packets all the time, and that's giving you constant feedback. If you scan the machine we run called scanme.nmap.org, which is specifically for letting people scan the machine, and it's filtered on most of the ports, Nmap's not getting that feedback. And so in 2003 or 2004, I put in the port scan pings technique, where Nmap said, hey, I found that this port is responsive, and so I'm just going to keep pinging it occasionally and use that to get timing data. And that's been a big help, and that's probably why the port bunny people also thought it was, you know, helpful. They do it a bit differently. They actually totally ignore the normal probes against the ports and only use the triggers, which is what they call the port scan pings, to do their timing. But they do a lot more triggers than we do port scan pings for various reasons. But that's something that we might look at. You know, maybe we should do the port scan pings more aggressively. Traditionally, I've kind of avoided it because it's sort of wasteful to have these extra packets. And they can be problematic, especially with open ports. If you send a bunch of extra SINs, you can cause a SIN flood. Like old BSD machines, 8 SINs, SIN packets, to them without a response will totally flood the port, and they won't receive any more packets from other people. And so I wanted to be careful that, you know, we don't cause, even though it's sort of the target machine's fault, the target machine should be able to handle it, we still try and not do things that cause these problems if we don't have to. Like when I first did version detection, I got a bunch of responses because there are all sorts of printers that just have ports open and will just print whatever you send to those ports without any authentication or handshaking or anything. And so I put the version detection out there, and everyone's like, hey, my printer printed out 30 pages of stuff like git slash http 1.1 and you know, x11, you know, binary codes and all sorts of crap. And so we had to add a feature that this printer port is by default not version detection, excludes that one port by default unless you use a special option which tells it to do it anyway.
That's this HP JetDirect stuff, isn't it?
They're certainly one of the printers that do it. other vendors may have sort of copied that and implemented it themselves.
Okay. Yeah, I think I remember that from the list.
It's like port 600 and something.
Okay. Well, it was my impression that the Port Bunny people addressed a specific task, especially those people who want to scan their local network, and they are more or less aware about the network topology in there, especially they're aware that there are no preventive measures like firewalls or stuff like that. So if you just want to count or collect all the active systems and do that very fast, do you think this task could be done efficiently with ANMAP as well, or would you suggest to use something different for this specific task to do?
Well, not surprisingly, I'd recommend ANMAP because it has a lot of features that these other scanners lack. For example, if you're on a local network, as you mentioned, ANMAP can actually do ARP scanning, where it sends raw Ethernet frames, which is far more efficient than the raw IP packets that ScanRand or Unicorn Scan or Port Bunny send. And you'll find more hosts that are up, because even a firewalled host has to respond to ARP packets if it's going to communicate with anyone, really. And so you'll find more hosts that are up, and you'll find them faster. The argument behind the Port Bunny people is that for heavily filtered ports systems, that it'll be better. And the computer defense test didn't really hear them out. However, I think there are cases where you might, if you have your own network and you know it well and you're tuning it a lot, you can use all of ANMAP performance options, or you could use something like Unicorn Scan or ScanRand, where you can specify the specific number of ports per second. And that's a key feature that those two have, and it's one that I'll probably add to ANMAP in the next year. The idea there is, hey, ANMAP, tell it to throw out all of its adaptive speed algorithms, all of its congestion control, and just send the exact number of ports per second that you specify. So yeah, I'm gonna put this sort of fixed rate scanning in there. Because okay. I think that's the key advantage that ScanRand and Unicorn Scan offer. And it's actually, you know, that's a much simpler approach than all of ANMAP's, you know, complicated algorithms. Here, it's basically just a for loop of, you know, send it, sleep for a period of time, send the next one.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about providing a kind of a profile approach or something like that? So a profile for local scanning, a profile for scanning over the internet, and a profile for scanning firewalls, a profile for detecting versions and specific information on a single host, or obtaining information about a huge group of target IP addresses. So to make it easier for, I don't know, I haven't counted them in the last time. I think there are 10, 15 different timing options available in ANMAP, and
right.
It's usually, if you are not regularly reading the developers list and reading all the white paper stuff on your website, it tends to be a little bit hard to understand all the
nitty-gritty
details of the different options.
And there are several approaches we take to that issue. The first one is try and make sure that you don't need them in most cases. You know, try and there's a huge focus on making it work well by default. And for the default, we're willing to sacrifice a little performance to make sure that the accuracy was there. In the computerdefense.org test from a few days ago, you know, Nmap was the only all-port scan where none of the ports were missed. Now, he missed some when he did -T5 max retry 0, but when you turn off the retransmission and use a timing mode called insane, you know, you're sort of telling Nmap you're willing to sacrifice accuracy. So the first goal is to make sure people don't need them to the extent we can. The second thing is I'm finishing an Nmap book. I should have brought copies, but that's almost done. And that has a chapter on performance that describes these options even better than the performance section of the man page does. Although even the man page documents them in a lot of depth. The third is that while there are a lot of different options, we have the timing templates, the capital T option. And so there, you know, 3 is the default level, 4 is called aggressive, which makes things a bit faster, and 5 is insane. And so, or you could do 2 if you want it to be slower, although I usually don't recommend that. Usually the default is fine. And so the idea is if you know, by default, Nmap kind of has to assume maybe that you're on a slow link at first until it gets evidence that, you know, things are accurate and we're not getting too much packet loss and the latency is low. Whereas if you do T4, Nmap will be a little bit more aggressive and things, the scans will be faster, but it's not as, it really doesn't take too many risks, and I usually use T4 myself. Whereas T5 I don't really use. You know, it's called insane for a reason, because it's faster than I'm comfortable scanning. But there are plenty of people who swear by it.
Okay. Okay, that is an interesting statement, that you actually say that the templates are well tuned in themselves, and you don't need to deal with the each and every number of retransmits and max retransmits.
Max RTT timeout and scan delay. I have a table in the book, which again sadly isn't released yet, but it basically shows all the timing options, and then it shows all the different timing templates, and it shows what like T4 means for the max retransmit, number of retransmits, for the max RTT timeout, for the scan delay, for all of these. And so then if you wanted to change a specific aspect, you could do like T4, but you could say, you know, change the host group size to something bigger, for example. But the goal is that new users shouldn't have to use these, and that like the examples you mentioned, like if it's an internet versus local host, you know, big group of machines, Nmap already does detect, you know, Nmap knows if it's on the local network, Nmap knows if it's on the internet, Nmap knows how many hosts you're trying to scan, Nmap knows if most of the ports are filtered, and so Nmap is able to react to those itself without you having to tell it that. And for a program that has more than 100 command line options, it's important that we try and make it so, you know, by default it's as smart as it can be. So for me, I almost always, I'll say Nmap, I'll do the T4 to be aggressive, and then I'll say -A, which tells it to do OS detection and version detection and Nmap scripting engine and trace route. And then I'll give it the host names, and sometimes I'll do -V for verbose. So all those other options are there when you need them, but I try and also provide simplified options via the -A that sort of does the works, and the -T that just gives a timing template from 1 to 5 instead of requiring people to do all the little options.
Okay, I see. You mentioned TCP congestion and stuff like that a couple of times. Have you actually spoken with WinSurf? as well inventor of one of the inventors of the TCP protocol. I don't know. Is he still around here in the?
I don't know if he lives in the Bay Area. I mean, I've certainly read plenty of his RFCs. And maybe I have him as a friend on LinkedIn or something. But no, I haven't spoken to him in any in much depth. I would certainly be happy to, if he was to ask me, you know, to dinner in Palo Alto like you guys did, I would also say yes to that. But no, I haven't. I don't think I've ever met him in person. But certainly appreciate the algorithms. And they certainly work better than sort of my first versions of Nmap where I tried to do it all myself. There's a specific RFC for TCP congestion control, and that's really a gold mine in terms of providing good ways to do these things based on all of the research that had gone on.
So what's on the roadmap for Nmap? So the long-awaited 4.5 series is out now.
Yeah, that was a real big deal. It was 2 years since the last 4.0 was released, and you know this includes you know the Nmap scripting engine, the second generation OS detection, the Zenmap GUI, and the host discovery system. For ping scanning has been rewritten. The scan algorithms have been tweaked for better performance. The version detection and OS detection databases have been improved dramatically. And so with all those features sort of pushed into this, right now we're focusing on stabilization. So now we have the NSE system, for example, but we need to get more scripts. There are a bunch of little projects related to NSE, like I'm not super happy with the categorization that it has. We sort of came up with some categories at first, sort of, you know, just quick brainstorming between me and Demon. But now that we've seen what people are using it for, I kind of want to change those categories. I definitely want a documentation system so that people can put, like, documentation in the script itself. And then we'll have a script which parses that and posts the documentation for each script to a web page so that it's easier to understand, you know, the parameters that a script can take and what it does and why you would want to use it. And, you know, the OS detection system still, the database is pretty big, but it's not as big even as the first generation system was since they had 6 or 7 more years than the second generation system has. And so, well, there are some things I want to add, like the fixed rate packet sending. My main focus for this year is going to be improving all these new features. You know, like Zenmap, you know, it works well and a lot of people love it, but it still has tons of room to improve. And while it can be fun to sort of go off adding features willy-nilly, I think it's important to stabilize these new features that we've added and make sure they're coherent and maintainable and well-coded and well-documented. Also, the Nmap book, of course, is a really, really big thing on my agenda. And today, I just right before I came to dinner with you, hopefully I didn't break the whole website and come home to a bunch of emails, I switched all of the Nmap stuff to its own domain name. So now nmap.org has sort of everything that was on insecure.org/nmap. So like if you need the man page, now you just say nmap.org/man.